Blog Talk Radio.
A lot. The prawn song in honor of Ginger.
Yay! You finally got it working.
Well, we had it yesterday, but I didn't want to upload. It said done right when we ended the show. I was like, this is too late. Thank you, BT.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, BT.
BT was being a bit of a whore yesterday.
A bit of? That's an understatement.
Just a bit. Just a bit.
Oh, yeah, they were. Indeed. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing better. Our new site is nearly done. I was up at 4 this morning going, okay, this must be done. I'm going to die trying. How about that?
Yay!
That looks good. Maybe mañana.
Maybe mañana?
Maybe mañana.
That'll be good.
How you doing, Ginger?
I am wonderful. It is Tuesday. I've got my caffeine. I've got my game. I'm good to go.
There is a lot of juicy news. I mean, a ton of juicy news.
There is a lot of juicy news.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to say hi to some new people that we picked up. Wow. So a lot of you last night started stalking us. We liked it. I really like this name right here, though. Illuminata.
Illuminata.
Not Illuminata, but Luminata.
Luminata.
Yeah, I like that name.
You know, they're just trying to throw it off so we don't know it's Illuminati.
Shh, yes, don't. Don't give it away, Ginger.
So how are you this morning, Miss Corey?
I'm good. I'm going to say hi to Zero Geek 2 from the UK. Hello to you there in Nottingham.
Hola. Hola.
He's like, what the hell is hola? you know, Well, they might know what Ola is.
So if he still had him some brown girl, man, he's missing out. Them brown people are awesome.
I don't know if it's a girl. You know what? I'm going to just back away from that with my hands in the air. Ah.
Yeah.
Our Gingers is still in raw mode today.
we're just not in raw mode.
Get the ice cubes ready. Just stand back.
Yeah.
And Fuad's restaurant there. Can we get some free food?
Okay, right. It's lunchtime. Nom, 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 nom. I need some food. Yes, I do. Some food.
Right after this, I am all about some food.
I don't know what I'm going to make yet. I went out for dinner last night, so.
Ooh, what did you eat?
We went to, crap, I can't think of the name of it. But anyways, it was a steak place. I had steak. It was awesome.
You know what? I'm done with you.
Well, it was like, it wasn't the Roadhouse, because I love the Roadhouse, but it was something comparable to the Roadhouse. It was another Roadhouse.
Okay. So, yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember the signs like orange.
Bad Ginger.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. I'm awful. I'm awful. I'm horrible.
Bad Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Ginger. Bad Ginger. Okay.
Totally, totally bad Ginger.
Speaking of bad people, this is going to be trouble, this next story.
Oh?
Yes, it is going to be trouble. Well, there's some new news out, according to new people. Well, they're not new, but a company called Freedom Pop is doing something amazing with your iPod Touch that is probably going to make Apple come after them with a vengeance. And not just Apple, but Verizon and every other cell phone company on the planet. You know, a lot of you have iPod Touches, and it does just about everything your iPhone does, except you can't make calls on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Freedom Pop is a new startup that is going to be offering, or they're trying to offer you free 4G services. across, including phone calls across a variety of devices. Yeah, and it's available for pre-order right now. You can pop over to their website.
How is it free if you have to pre-order it? What's the catch?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I love it. I love it. They said it's pre-orders for its IG Phone 4 case, but the company said they've already received more inquiries to bring that functionality to the iPod Touch. And Freedom Pop VP of Marketing Tony Miller told VentureBeat in an interview last week that the feature is sort of an incremental for the iPhone, but there's even more value on an iPod since you're taking the device that has no cellular and giving it 4G capability. Just like the iPhone case, the iPod Touch sleeves cost around $99, and it comes with 500 megabytes of free WiMAX. Is it WiMAX or WiMAX 4G services? It snaps onto the back of your iPod Touch and makes it appear similar to the bulbous iPhone 3G and 3GS. And you'll be able to earn more free data by convincing friends to join Freedom Pop, or you can buy additional data at a cost of $10 per gigabyte. And there's no contract for joining Freedom Pop, and the company will even allow you to easily swap your services across multiple devices. So Freedom Pop's iPod Touch case functions as a wireless hotspot.
But a gigabyte really isn't that much.
No, we use that as, like, just talking. But it's supposed to function as a wireless hotspot, and you can connect up to 8 different devices to a
And do what? Spot. You only get a gigabyte for $10.
This is not for us geeks, because we clearly see that this is there's not a whole lot of value in this unless you're going to up it to at least, got to be at least 10 gigs to start with, at least. For us,
yeah,
people to touch it. At the very least, 10. And that's not even a lot.
I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, hell, if you stream a video.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't even go there. All right, most games are going to be bigger than that. I mean, just like I've been frapsing lately. A short little bitty video, like 2-3 minutes, we're talking like 4 gigs right there.
Yep.
So what are you going to do with this?
Going to force us to pull and tear our hair out. But if you have a tablet, they're saying you can use your tablet with this little hotspot thing. They said right now they're using Clearwire's 4G data service, but they're
good lord.
Yes, but they're announcing.
Sorry, people.
But they're in agreement to use Sprint, which is not much better. 4G LTE.
I had Clearwire back in the day.
You know, I got to say, let me finish this up real quick. Right now, it's unclear if Freedom Pop will be able to live up to the promises of its free 4G service, but with smartphone bills, data on the rise.
Oh, it's free, sure. You can just look at it. Don't touch it.
And, yeah.
What are your limit?
Exactly. And they've raised $7.5 million. Now, here's where I don't trust Sprint. If you guys remember when Sprint started advertising their 4G service, they kept showing gamers because they wanted to jump in. And I'm saying this because this is going to segue into another story I have after Ginger goes. They were trying to advertise to gamers. So they were showing gamers playing their Nintendo DSs, and you were supposed to be connecting to this Wi-Fi hotspot. Anybody that owns a DS can tell you that your Nintendo DS is Wi-Fi all the freaking time. Wherever, you know, you don't really need a hotspot to reach your Wi-Fi. All of the games that were made with the DS, like if it was to play with someone else, it's like if Ginger, you and I were going to play Mario Kart, we didn't need a hotspot. We would just connect and play Mario Kart. And up to either 8 to 12 other people, we would just sit down and play. So I didn't like that they were trying to capitalize on the stupidity of some people who were not gamers and saying, by the way, you're going to need this to play your DS. Or I think the Vita works the same way. If you're in the vicinity of the person that you're trying to play with, you don't really need a 3G hotspot. So I'm not – as a matter of fact, I would think it's slower with the handheld gaming devices, you know. Not your iPhone and stuff, because those are clearly phones. They keep trying to say they're gaming devices. They're not. Mm-hmm. But I really don't like that about Sprint. They're making me feel all funny. I don't trust them. I never trusted Sprint. And I used
not
to work
funny
at the
in the
Sprint.
Good way.
Yeah. And I used to work at the Sprint store, so I'm not. Let's just say I saw some shady dealings from Sprint.
Yeah.
And I can say that because I wasn't under contract with them, but with someone else working there. It was not good. Do you remember those phones that were like the Star Trek that they – do you remember when they came out, the flip phones that looked like the Star Trek comm that everybody was going nuts over? Dude, I saw some bad things with those phones. I used to want to scream at people, don't buy this when they come in. Don't buy it.
I think I had one back in the day. Was it the silver thing?
Yes. Did you notice that it broke a lot?
No. no, mine lasted for like flipping ever.
We had a steady line of people coming in when I was there that they were always broken and or something was wrong with them. I mean, when I say a line, there was always a line around the store from the time the Sprint store opened till it closed. It was like, oh my God.
Girl, at that point, I was full-time, I was over full-time college and full-time working, so I didn't have time to break my phone.
No, it wasn't even that people were breaking it. They just broke easily. It's like they were made out of plastic, which, you know.
They were.
Yeah, but you know, nowadays you can't do that. I mean, there's a plastic back on the back of my drawer, but this is not the same type of plastic. This is, you know, I'd have to try to break this. But this other one was like, as soon as if you open the phone too hard, crack, it would crack, and then your top part would come loose from the bottom half. They had people that were trying to tape theirs together so they could use it because they charged so much to fix it. Oh, my God.
No, luckily I never ran into those issues. And after that, I got a Nokia. And for anybody with a Nokia, if you're klutz, Nokias are for you.
So I hear.
You can't break a Nokia. Well, you can, but you're going to spend a lot of effort trying to break a Nokia. You could run that thing over, throw it in lava. It doesn't matter. It'll come back out.
I got to say, this LG is pretty tough. It does have a scratch on it, but I dropped it from a high distance onto some pavement. So it's warranted, but it's a very small scratch. It's not very noticeable.
Well, my phone is just fine. I've had no issues with it. But then again, I've got this cool little rubber thingy on it, so it's got better grip. So I don't drop it. And I keep one of those protective screens on it at all times.
All right, no crazy emails during the show, please, people. I can't answer these. I can't answer these while I'm doing the show. Send her more.
Mm-mm. All right, ESA signs 3-year deal with Los Angeles for E3 Expo. After the Entertainment Software Association hinted, and I told y'all about this yesterday, but it was still just rumbles. I couldn't find anything definite yesterday, so hey. After the Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, hinted that it might take the Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, to somewhere else next year besides Los Angeles due to concerns about construction projects, it seems like the city and the ESA have worked things out. It was announced this morning that the ESA and the city have signed a new 3-year contract for the annual media and trade show event. Mm-hmm. As of this announcement, the E3 Expo will remain in LA until 2015. ESA CEO Michael D. Gallagher said in a press release, ESA supports AEG's mission and vision for downtown Los Angeles and the areas surrounding the Los Angeles Convention Center. We appreciate AEG's willingness to work in partnership with our organization to not only create a construction schedule to accommodate the needs of our guests, but also their commitment to incorporate many of our suggestions into the design of the new venues.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of figured it had to be that way. Yeah, so they're going to end up making these new venues more just for E3.
That's not going to help them.
No, because the ESA, you suck.
What is that?
And HIPAA and 1981 and probably even the cybersecurity bill, too, aren't you?
You see what I just tweeted? E3 to stay in LA. Gamers go to PAX South instead.
Yeah, baby.
Well, it seems all the cool kids want to be gamers, or actually game consoles. What is this business I see popping up? WikiPad. WikiPad, yes. The WikiPad tablet, not the company, is planning on releasing some type of little thing, whatever it's supposed to be, that'll have a 10.1-inch IPS display with 16:10 ratio, 1280x800 resolution. The actual tablet will weigh around 560 grams and be just 8.6-millimeter thick, making it one of the thinnest and lightest 10-inch tablets ever, only slightly thicker than the iPad 2 and nearly 40 grams lighter. When the WikiPad was first shown at CES earlier this year, it was a 7-inch tablet that was more similar in design to the Amazon Kindle Fire. The final model, which the company revealed to our peoples over at VentureBeat, will come with an NVIDIA Tegra 3 T30 1.4 megahertz quad-core processor, hands above the desk, please, people, with 1 gigabyte of DDR2 RAM. For comparison, the recently released Nexus 7 uses the T30L, which is a 1.2 gigahertz quad-core processor with 416 megahertz GPU. Compared to 520 megahertz on the T3 and a slower DDR RAM 2. Good God, that's a lot of DDR 8 megahertz, blah, blah, blah.
It is.
The WikiPad is also supposed to ship with at least 16 gigabytes of internal storage, though the amount of local storage hasn't been finalized yet. However, according to Fraser Townley, president of sales at WikiPad, they said, we will not go down. We will only go up. 16 gigabyte is 16 gigabyte is a standard amount of storage for tablets today, and the battery is capable of 6 hours of continuous gaming and 8 hours of video playback. Not bad. Not with us, though. They don't work, because I usually have 3 games running at once. It ain't going to last no 6 hours for me. More like 2. Also, instead of the tapered edges, the WikiPad will have a flat size similar to the iPhone 4S. The rear panel will have an elevated plastic lip designed for a better grip in any holding arrangement. This also enables the speakers on the back of the tablet to bounce off of any flat surface and deliver strong acoustics. Every WikiPad will ship with Droid Jelly Bean and the controller add-on. I don't like the way it looks, honestly. It looks kind of jacked up. You all should have went to Nintendo and said, how do we put this on? Because it does not look right. I don't like it. It looks like this weird. You guys remember those steering wheels they had peripherals they had for Xbox and all your games, you know, if you wanted to play a driving game and it had the buttons on it? It just looks wrong. Yeah, that's what this looks like. A version of this gone horribly even more wrong. They're saying, what else are they saying here about this thing? It's supposed to be similar in design, I said, of course, to the 360 controller, though according to the company, there is little relation to Microsoft's nearly 7-year-old design. Really? Little relation to? It's been out 7 years and you don't think it influenced you. Anyway, the controller features 2 sets of triggers, bumpers, and analog sticks. Amazing. That's new. Never heard of that before. As well as 4 face buttons and the start and select. The controller is also designed to cover the speakers and blow sound through the acoustic tubes out of the front gill. Wow, my Droid just rebooted itself. Did you hear that?
Interesting.
Optimus Prime, will you please stop? Are you going to have to grow legs and something? You know what that means.
Grow legs and walk off.
Yes, pretty much. Of course, I'm sorry. Let me finish this story up. Finally, the WikiPad will not ship the first line of tablet with a 3D display, which the company originally showed off at CES. Future models will ship or may ship with a 3D display. The WikiPad does not have a definite release date yet, but according to WikiPad president James Bauer, it will release later this year, and the company will reveal much more regarding the tablet in the very near future. You also have the Windows tablet to contend with. Good luck with that, because that is looking all kinds of sexy. And that's they're not the original purveyors of gaming, but they did do a good job when they came along. We'll see.
Yes, we will indeed. Sorry, my allergies are driving me nuts this morning. Oh my goodness.
Happy.
All right, so Fox News, we knew they were going to do this because, you know, they suck in general. Fox News, or should we, you know, start spelling it F-A-U-X instead of F-O-X. News plays connect the dots in James Holmes' case. Reporting on James Holmes' day in court today, Fox News tries to make a connection to World of Warcraft. We assume this is to tie video games to the shootings in Aurora, Colorado earlier this month.
But
the connection is about as tenuous as lights over Roswell, New Mexico, being definitive proof that extraterrestrials exist. Holmes was formally charged with 24 counts of murder, 116 counts of attempted murder, 1 count of possession of explosives, and 1 count of a crime of violence. But later in the article, Fox News tried to make a leap of faith based loosely on other reports that Holmes was an avid World of Warcraft player and some stuff related to the psychiatrist treating him, Dr. Lynn Fenton. Earlier reports indicated that Dr. Fenton had received a notebook from the defendant, which went unnoticed until after the shooting. Authorities have since seized that notebook. Fox News points out that Dr. Fenton is a faculty member at the Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Denver, and that she has won an award last year for her research on schizophrenia for the agency. It goes on to point out that her website lists her interest in schizophrenia research and the fact that she treats 10 to 15 graduate students a week with medication and psychotherapy, along with 5 to 10 patients in her general practice. They also point out that she is a member of the UC... I don't care about this. That's boring. Also, an indisputable fact is that on May 30th, Dr. Fenton and 2 graduate students presented a talk called World of Warcraft, the Use of Archetypes in Psychotherapy at the Student Health Case Conference. Points out that James Holmes frequently played World of Warcraft and was under the care of Dr. Fenton. They also point out a couple of Dr. Fenton's troubles, including disciplinary action. I don't care. Yeah, so in other words, he may or may not have, possibly, maybe, we're not quite for sure, but we're going to say he did anyways, play World of Warcraft. Because, you know, World of Warcraft totally teaches you how to shoot guns.
and be totally violent and make bombs.
When you see those trolls and orcs, it translates to putting on a gas mask.
Exactly, right? Oh, my God. People, I want to slap you. You know what, Fox News? You are so flipping fake, and I got to watch my language because I want to cusp a storm, and I cannot. You guys suck. Where are you getting your information? Do you just, like, have little daydreams, little, you know.
Oh, jeez, I got ginger up
in
my heart.
Little ponderings, and you know what? This sounds like a good lie to tell and, you know, make people believe. Y'all are so fake. I can come up with better crap than this.
This boils down to, Ginger, is they think of gamers as victims or their kids. We can blame them, or we're going to tell parents, keep your kids away from gamers. It's money. They're making more money than we are, and we got to get it away from them somehow. So we'll, if you won't share it with us, we'll take you down. How about that?
This is why anybody that I find out actually listens to Fox News and thinks they're getting real news from Fox, just totally I write them off as a lost cause.
Yeah.
You might as well be reading Star Magazine, because that's what it amounts to. It's Star Magazine, but for the TV. It's nothing but fake.
Horace.
I think they're going to be telling us that, what is that great big giant hairy monster thing?
Oh, which one? The Loch Ness? Wait a minute, not the Loch Ness. Bigfoot?
Bigfoot. Bigfoot's going to be giving the news, and they're going to be like, this is totally real.
Well, they have done that before, haven't they?
Probably, man.
We
you
found proof.
Some of the people they hire there? Not pretty.
We found proof of Bigfoot. Horace is saying that wow, people going HAM in real life. Fox News exclusive. Still has Fox News. This is where you're getting your information from. Wikipedia.
Yes, because wow makes everybody schizophrenic. That's totally what it is. Wow makes everybody schizophrenic.
Yes, that's why I go on murderous rampages on a daily, and I only play for 1 week.
Right?
People please. Well,
the voices in my head told me that wow will make me better.
I'm going to be a shaman. I'm going to go out and stand on my lawn and try to heal people as they pass. Or cast spells on them. Something to that nature.
You know what, Fox? Seriously, if I lived close to Fox Station, I think I would have to go get dressed up in something like some kind of wow outfit and go protest.
Don't tempt me, because I do live near Fox Station. Of course, they would pull out footage and say she's our friend from when we did our stint on the Fox News a couple years ago. But yeah, be like, now we don't like you. We're not friends anymore. All right, peoples. Nintendo, yeah, Nintendo says they are not even worried about this business you all are saying with the 3DS. 1 year and 4 months and 4 days after the launch of the Nintendo 3DS, the Nintendo 3DS arrived in the UK this past Saturday. It was, as ChartTrack pointed out, for trivia nerds, only the second week console launch to take place on these shores, the other being the Nintendo 64, which hit the shores on March 1st, 1997. Wow. But 15 years on from pioneering 3D gameplay in Mario 64, Nintendo's promised glasses-free 3D revolution has fallen so flat it's not even precedent. They now refer to it as a minor feature. However, they're saying they're not too worried about what's going on. Do you know why? They said the XL shifted a figure a little shy of five figures, outselling the original 3DS, whose total is based on 7 days' data by a factor of just 2 to 1. And they said the platform hasn't seen a single big impact platform exclusive this year, but they know that Sony wishes they were in the same position this time next year with the Vita. Oh. Wow, Ginger's not even listening. I ain't getting no kind of feedback.
I'm sorry. I was reading this next little bit. I'm sorry. There's a rumor, and I had to read it.
All right. So according to the people in Japan, the console has already found its groove, and as of July 25th, Nintendo is no longer selling the system at a loss. Meanwhile, the software the system so desperately needs is coming. New Super Mario Bros. 2, Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, and more brain training in the form of Brain Training. I love that game. And more Pokemon. More of the same, sure, but more of the same in one franchise, beloved of the hardcore and three of the biggest, most reliable series on the planet. It could be worse. Iwata looked to precedent to allay the fears of its analysts. He said the Nintendo DS gained momentum within a year in Japan. However, it took more than 2 years in the U.S., and in the end, the total sales of Nintendo DS exceeded the Wii there. It ignores the rather large and pressing fact that the DS launched into a world without smartphones. That's true. But the sheer enduring strength and popularity of Nintendo's core franchises means that for all digital doubts, the painfully high price of downloadable back catalog titles and staggeringly only now staggeringly, only now with the arrival of the new Super Mario Bros. 2, a first toe in the water of pay for DLC, the company can look at the near future with confidence. Which is to say, another major hardware launch coming next year, Nintendo has bigger things to worry about than the 3DS, even XL size. That's from our people at GI.biz. I gotta say, we did tell y'all Nintendo wasn't gonna stay down.
Nintendo's always like, you know what? We're gonna one up you again. You wanna try to keep up? Keep up, baby. Here we go. Nintendo is no joke, and I'm gonna lose my voice before this is all said and done with. Oh! Alright, so I told you there's a rumor out there, and right now it's just a rumor, but I don't doubt that it's true. Bethesda acquires Stalker series games rights. Bethesda has no comment on a rumor, and that's always when you know it's true, when they have no comment, on a rumor circulating this morning that it has purchased the game rights to the popular action game series Stalker. The rumor was started by Ukrainian blogger Sergei Galionkin, who cited a very reliable source close to the situation. The reason that many media outlets have run with this particular rumor is because Galionkin has proven to be a reliable source himself in the past when it comes to these things, GSC Game World related. He predicted that trouble within the studio before it became public earlier this year. Galionkin went on to say that Bethesda only bought the rights to Stalker while GSC founder Sergei Grigorievich has retained the rights to create books, films, and other merchandise based on the franchise. Bethesda had no comment on the story, and while Galionkin's headline for the Post inferred that the Stalker 2 project had been picked up by Bethesda, the text of his article didn't seem to indicate that fact. So anyways, they say we'll have more as the story develops, and we'll let you know as it develops for us. Yes, yes.
That's messed up.
Yes, yes.
That'd be messed up. Why'd you do that, Ginger?
Why is it going to be messed up?
Why'd you do it?
Because it looked pretty.
Did you know that there was a new update to Secret World?
Yes, yes, yes. It just came out today, and I was planning on getting in and checking it out in just a little bit.
Well, let me tell the other people out there about, it's called Unleashed. Yay.
Unleashed.
They released the first content update for The Secret World, bringing new experience to the recently launched modern-day MMO of myths, legends, and conspiracies. Again, the update is called Issue 1, Unleashed, very much like City of Heroes issues, huh? It is the first of many updates or issues that are part of Funcom's ambitious monthly update plan, where the company will bring one major content update to the game once every month. Issue 1 Unleashed introduces several new elements to the game, including several new investigation missions, Funcom's unique and innovative take on MMO questing. Players will now be able to use the marketplace, a brand new cross-dimensional feature allowing players to sell, trade, and ship items to other players no matter what dimensions they're playing on.
Yay!
Were you trying to sell stuff?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, new players, this weekend, you get to play for free. That's right. This weekend from August 3rd at 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time until August the 6th at 7 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, Funcom and all of the other players will be celebrating the Secret World that has been live for one whole month.
Seriously, people, if you've not tried it out, go play. It's so much fun.
During this time, any of you can register and try out the Secret World for free. You can just register on their official page and download the game and go. Now, if you have a beta account, guess what? You can also play for free this weekend with your beta folks. The software extends to everyone with an inactive Secret World account. Any player who has a type of Secret World account may join the weekend celebration. Early access, active accounts and beta accounts may all join in. Just log back into your account using the celebration weekend and play. Fireworks. They also have a fireworks celebration, Ginger.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
And you, listen. You're also giving away in-game fireworks to everyone with a level 15 and up character. No, everyone up to 15 per character. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. And not only that, players will be tasked with a special challenge this weekend. Complete 30 in-game missions to help those in need and receive a special in-game T-shirt, as well as 1,200 bonus points that can be used in the in-game store, Ginger. In the in-game store. During the celebration weekend, there will also be a special leaderboard showing the top 100 mission solvers in the game. It's time to celebrate Illuminati.
It is. And like I said, if you've not played, please go play. It's amazing. You'll love it. You'll love it. You really, really, really will. You won't regret it. All right. Orcs. I can't read this. Orcs Must Die 2 is now available. Robot Entertainment Today announced that Orcs Must Die 2, the sequel to last year's AIAS strategy game of the year, is now available for download. Orcs Must Die 2 thrusts players and their friends back in a battle against a terrifying mob of orcs and other monsters with a redesigned spellbook. Players will have a broader range of options to build a deadly arsenal of defenses. Investing hard-earned skulls in an enormous new upgrade system will allow players to cater to their favorite methods of burning, grinding, tossing, or dismembering orcs. Yay! Orcs Must Die 2 is over in the Steam store right now. Orcs Must Die 2 begins days after the ending of the original game. With the rifts closed and the magical order dead, the war mage finds himself suddenly thrust into a new battle against a mindless orc mob. He has a powerful, if questionable, new companion and the sorceress, an ex-war mage, responsible for the destruction of the order. All right, so what have we got? We've got some new features. We've got co-op. Play as the war mage, the headstrong hero who charges into danger, or play as the more strategic sorceress who keeps the mob at bay with mind control and magic. Story-based campaign, endless mode, classic mode, over 20 deadly enemies, more than 50 traps, weapons, and guardians. Choose from an enormous armory of new and classic defenses, including an all-new assortment of magical trinkets and a massive upgrade system. With more than 225 persistent trap and weapon upgrades to unlock, you can build an arsenal perfectly suited to your slaying style. All right, so if you want to check this out, orcsmustdie.com. Yay! No? No yay?
Oh, I'm all muted. I'm like, ooh, I love me some Orcs Must Die. Okay, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing a story. Okay, yeah, so Microsoft has done something cool today. Those of you who have Hotmail probably noticed it looks a little different. Yeah, 325 million of you are still using Hotmail, but the company decided they decided Hotmail must die in favor of something new. Outlook. That's right. Outlook is an email client, yes, but that's the new name of their web-based, free, consumer-focused version of Outlook. From here on out, when you say Outlook, you hear Outlook, it'll now be referring to that. The new email. They said there was a perception gap with Hotmail from tech enthusiasts in use. Windows Live is the new thing, of course, if you have the new Windows, the newer Windows. So do you have Windows 7, right? You're running Windows 7?
Yes, I'm running Windows 7, yes.
Well, many people, of course, would not take a second look at Hotmail, and they would say, I don't feel comfortable having this next to my name, which is true. Hotmail was a hot mess. People understood Outlook as mail from Microsoft, so we thought this rebranding made sense. A revamped consumer email product is one of the many changes in Microsoft's lineup this year as it introduces Windows 8 to the world. It's also working to release Office 2013. Be afraid. VentureBeat also says you also will be getting Windows 8 for smartphones, so not just the Windows 8 phone, but looks like they're going to do it for all of them. Improved SkyDrive cloud storage, updated Xbox 360 software, Windows Azure with newly added IaaS support, and more. Through strong planning, the company has made it so that many of these products interact with each other. They also share a common look with Metro design principles, with Outlook as a primary example. Also, there's some leaked screenshots about the new design of Outlook. It's supposed to be clean, very minimalist, with a white background, a small header at the top. They said that we kept many features people like from Hotmail, but also added a clean, fresh, modern design. This is by far the cleanest email service today. Ooh, sounds like a dig of Gmail to me. Hotmail users will have the option to either keep their @hotmail.com address or switch over to an @outlook.com address, but everyone will get the new design. If you want to make the switch right away and claim your ever so trendy at hotlook.com, outlook.com, I said hotlook, didn't I? Outlook. They should have said hotlook. That would have been better. Address. Log into the Hotmail and click on the options menu in the upper right and then select upgrade to outlook.com. And you should switch right over. Another feature that they added to Outlook is Skype calling. That's right. I said Skype calling right from your email. Since Microsoft purchased Skype for an astronomical $8.5 billion, the company hasn't done much to integrate Skype into its products besides putzing around with Windows Phone and Link. But now Microsoft will take serious advantage of Skype for the first time in Outlook. If you click on your video chat button with your email contacts, you can start a Skype call, even if you don't have Skype installed on your computer.
Ooh.
Ooh. hot. Yeah, that's all you need to know at this point. but the new email look, it is clean. What can I say? And it's in one of my favorite colors. It's orange. It's nice. I mean, really nice. It looks a lot like Google, though. Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot like Google Plus.
Huh, that's interesting.
Oh, you do. Oh, you also do need to know it's not completely free. It does have advertising, but only if they said it'll only pop up if you hover your mouse over it. So they aren't quite as bad. Also, AOL. Well, no, that's nothing new. Well, I already talked about AOL's redesign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Comcast and Nashville. Nashville people, are you ready for this? Comcast to begin usage-based billing trial run in Nashville on August 1st. Starting Wednesday in Nashville, Tennessee, Comcast will implement a new usage-based broadband policy that could result in a charge of $10 for 50 additional gigabytes each time subscribers use more than their monthly allotment of 300 gigabytes.
Oh, my God. That's mm-hmm. not funny. That's not cute.
No. When a customer goes over 300 gigabytes, Comcast will warn them three times over the course of a year before they incur the $10 charge and will be sent emails and in browsers as well.
Oh, God.
Comcast will also send customers emails and in-browser notifications when a customer reaches a 90% and 100% threshold of their monthly data usage allowance. In May, the company announced that it would be suspending its 250-gigabyte data cap enforcement for broadband subscribers in order to test our new policies in select regions. One of the biggest complaints that internet advocacy groups had when the FCC established its net neutrality rules is that it left server providers free to implement usage-based billing and data caps. Customers that watch a lot of internet video content or play games that require gigabytes of data to be downloaded, like MMOs and games such as Diablo 3, may find it very easy to hit their data cap limits almost every month. Wow, that's no good, people. That's no good. That's a little scary. And Comcast, screw you.
Oh, God, may the ginger go up into the high register several times today.
I know, right? I can't believe that. That's nuts. $10 for 50 gigabytes. Again, not much, people. Not much.
300 gigabytes is nothing. Again, we use that up. There's games. Hell, The Sims is the size of 300 gigabytes, 400 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Oh. This is not going to be good. There's going to be a lot of people in trouble, especially those parents that aren't gamers and have kids that are gamers. They're going to go over that like it's nothing, playing on Xbox. Just done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
One session in Xbox and it's over.
Yep.
All right. A new report from Cohen & Company states that the recently settled case between Xfinity Award studio heads Jason West and Vince Zampanella and Activision settled to the tune of tens of millions. Analyst Doug Krutz believes that while the settlement was undisclosed, the two Call of Duty executives walked away with a very healthy sum. Hey, he's kind of cute there, and you're rich. Sit in your lap. The comments from the firm came just a few days shy of financial reporting for Activision. Krutz notes that Activision will more than likely ignore the settlement when discussing the outlet for the company during the earnings calls, which we will not be on. I think we're just going to forego for earnings calls. I just can't do it. As it feels investors will see the sum as a negligible going forward. Activision is looking at healthy sales overall from the Blizzard side, thanks in part from an expected 8 million units sold for Diablo 3. The game pushed past 3 million units in May, beating out earlier predictions of only 5 million forecasted. Blizzard's next release, StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, is more than likely not going to ship until 2013, added Krutz. EA is also gearing up to release its financial report as well. Krutz believes that EA will be reducing sales forecast for upcoming titles, notably Medal of Honor Warfighter. The game is expected to sell only 1.44 million units, a sharp decline from Krutz's previously forecasted 2.33 million. The analyst also had sobering news for BioWare's The Old Republic, which he believes will continue to see rapid declination in subscribers to around 500,000 users overall. It's sad, y'all.
It's very sad. Very, 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 very sad indeed. All right. Cybersecurity Act sponsors have a war of words with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Senator Joe Lieberman and the co-sponsors of Cybersecurity Act 2012 are not pleased with a conservative lobbying group, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and are firing back at the group for what they call mischaracterizations about the latest revisions to the bill. More specifically, Senator Lieberman, is upset over a letter that the group sent to the U.S. senators urging them not to support the bill. The group opposes the further regulations the bill would put on the U.S. businesses that work in fields that bill targets as critical infrastructure in the name of shoring up cybersecurity. In a letter sent to the Chamber's CEO, Thomas Donahue, the sponsor of the bill said that they were confused by the group's continued opposition to the bill's voluntary incentives-based approach to protecting critical infrastructure. They also pointed out that earlier this year, the Chamber had advocated for such measures in a white paper. Of course, over the course of the last 3 years, as we have worked towards a compromise on cybersecurity legislation, the threat of a cyber attack against our country has grown even more serious.
Oh, God.
Given the cyber attacks that have affected the Chamber's own control over the information of its members, we would have hoped that you would have an appreciation for the threat to the national and economic security of our nation. The Senate is set to take up the Cybersecurity Act today or tomorrow. Another complication was added to the bill on Friday when Senate Democrats decided to add a provision related to gun control. Surely something that the Senate Republicans will staunchly oppose. No doubt there will be some argument about this on the floor of the Senate this week. Yes. No knee-jerk reactions, thank you. Especially not when dealing with cyber control and cybersecurity. Not cool.
Well, that's their problem. They're always knee-jerk. They never think about it.
No, they don't.
All right.
I'm not yawning. Nope.
I'm ignoring your yawning. Well... You know, I said that if this happened, I would play this game and I would be happy. And now I has to eat my words.
What's going on?
Koch Media. Yes, I am aware how close that sounds to the other word with the R in it.
But Koch Media. Yay!
This is all the K. Has announced a brand new game that puts the player center stage to sing and dance their way to musical fame exclusively for the Nintendo Wii this September, which leads me to believe it'll be on the Wii U. Set to feature huge 32 classic hits from a career spanning 45 years, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals Sing and Dance is being published by Tubby Games, is set for release this September on the Nintendo Wii, announced leading entertainment distributor Koch Media just today. Fans of hit musicals such as Phantom of the Opera, Sunset Boulevard, Evita, yes, Cats, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Jesus Christ Superstar will now be able to put themselves center stage with this new game, Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Oh, wow, I'm going to need y'all to not do that. Sing and Dance will feature legendary hits, including Yes, Ginger, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and The Phantom of the Opera.
Wow, I almost want to, like, break out singing in that song.
See, that's why they're doing it. Memory and Any Dream Will Do in-game performance.
I love that. I went and saw that in middle school for Spanish class. I loved it.
So I need to be asking for this.
No, take it back. It was my freshman year high school.
Now, in-game performances will feature award-winning and legendary recording artists, including Elaine Page, Michael Crawford, Boyzone, Donny Osmond, David Essex, and Sarah Brightman, and of course, you, as you tread the boards to become a musical superstar with a career, again, spanning 45 years. Andrew Lloyd Webber's achievements in the world of musicals are legendary. His hit musicals do include, of course, as I just said, Phantom of the Opera, Cats, Starlight Express, Evita, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. He's won 7 Tonys, 3 Grammys, 6 Olivers, 1 Golden Globe, an Oscar, an International Emmy. That's just a few things. Players, again, you can choose to take on dance, sing, or career modes to perform the lead role as you dance and sing your way to musical fame and fortune, performing alongside up to 3 friends and family in multiplayer mode, or going it alone to progress to superstardom. Again, you got 32 musicals. They're only mentioning a few. You can solo and compete against friends, and it is exclusively for the Wii. It's supposed to be compatible with all your Nintendo-approved USB microphones. I think I'm going to pick this one up. Going to be interesting. Again, published by Tubby Games, being distributed by Koch Media. It's going to be available September 14th.
Are you sure you're saying that right?
I am saying it right. I've known Koch Media for a long time.
Are you totally sure?
I'm totally sure. I'm interested, and I know this is going to be a good. This will be a good family game. Baby Natrix will love this. I don't know if she's going to like any of the songs. You know, I don't think she knows any of these. We haven't done these kind of musicals. We've done, you know, what was the one that just came out with Tom Cruise? Rock of Ages. Yeah.
Yeah, Rock of Ages.
And she's done Grease, so I guess we'll make our way over to these so she can.
I can't believe they used Tom for that one. What were they thinking?
He was fantastic in it.
It's Tom Cruise, though. He's so creepy.
You have to divorce yourself, haha, pun intended, divorce yourself from Tom outside of movies and Tom in movies. In Tom in movies, he is brilliant. Outside of movies, I would be afraid to sit next to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Suck my soul out or something.
Oh my God. And that's going up in the quotables.
It's true. Oh, my God, it's true. All right, so I thought this was kind of cool. Not really a news story, but kind of neat. A Metal Gear director says creating a video game is kind of like the Olympics. Creating a video game can be like the Olympics, wrote Metal Gear Solid director Hideo Kojima just prior to London 2012. It's a big event every 3 or 4 years. Your goal is to compete on the world stage. You can't think about anything else. The last half is difficult, and you think about retiring afterward, but when it's over, you start thinking about the next tournament.
Ooh.
Yeah, I heard that yawn.
No, that wasn't a yawn. That is some juice I just saw. Ooh, good. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So he says, what is Kojima's next main event? That's still under wraps, but the timing's right for a new announcement. Metal Gear Solid 4 was launched on PlayStation 3 a full 4 years ago in June 2008. Portable Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker was released on PSP in 2010, and HD reissues of earlier games were compiled for Xbox 360, PS3, and Vita in 2011 and 2012. Kojima Productions is responsible for a new game engine, the Fox Engine, which will be powering FIFA rival Pro Evolution Soccer 2014, as well as new installments of the Metal Gear Solid and Zone of Enders series. The technology is to be shown off at an official Metal Gear 25th anniversary party in Japan on August 30th. Yay! So maybe we're looking towards something new. That'd be kind of cool.
All right. Juice, I've got it.
You got it. What you got?
It's
what
delicious.
You ain't got no goose. You ain't got no goose. No goose.
I got juice. Juice of epic proportions. Are you ready for this?
I got it. What you got? What you got?
It's official. It's insider trading. Zynga.
Uh-oh. Somebody's going to get the pee-pee smack. Somebody's going to get the pee-pee smack.
All right. So as we've been telling you back and forth here, and it's been all over pretty much every website, our people's over at VentureBeat also reported that Zynga executives and investors, including CEO Mark, the very hot Mark Pincus, he'll be very hot in jail too, sold over $500 million in stock just 3 months before the stock plummeted a couple days ago. Pincus sold $200 million of Zynga stock. Chief Operating Officer John Shepard sold $3.9 million, and Chief Financial Officer David Wenner sold stock worth $4.6 million. Those five firms were Schubert, Jonker, and Colby, Newman, Ferreira, Johnson & Weaver, Wohl & Fruchter, and Levi & Korsinsky. I'm going to need y'all to just pick some kind of cool gaming name for your firms. I want to see somebody name you should have named yourselves Frontiersville. Jailsville would be more like it. Today, San Francisco Newman Ferreira has announced the first lawsuit on behalf of Mark H. DiStefano and all other persons similarly situated. In other words, it's a class action lawsuit. Now I wish I had bought some stock. The firm believes that hundreds of investors share the same concerns and may be included in the suit. Key among the five firms, along the law firm's allegations, were executive stock lockup agreements, which were initially set to expire May 28th of 2012. They sold it months before. Zynga issues a positive guidance on stock. When it announced its outlook this year, it states that bookings are projected to be in the range of $1.35 billion to $1.45 billion. We expect that growth will be weighted towards the back half of the year, with slower sequential growth in the first half of the year. A lie! The lockup agreements were revealed on March 23rd, 2012. They're also looking at what enabled Zynga insiders to sell stock early. So they're saying, due to the March 23rd lockup restriction waiver, enabled Zynga insiders, including the defendants, to sell their stock shares when the secondary offering was on April 3rd, sooner than the May 28th expiration date. Ooh. And also allowing them to profit while ordinary investors did not. And rank-and-file employees could not either. So they didn't even take care of the people in the company. In addition, Zynga continued to issue positive guidance, basically lying. Also, they misrepresented it or failed to disclose important information to shareholders. It's a very serious lawsuit and a major problem for Zynga, but the company and its executives will have their day in court and be able to present their view of the events at that time. One possibly bigger problem for the company right now, rank-and-file employees who were forced to wait longer than key executives are one of the parties feeling particularly aggravated right now, especially if their options happen to be underwater. You all are going to lose your shirt. You all that play, let me name off the games. Some of you who say you don't know of any Zynga games. You got your Cafe World. You got your Fishville, your Petville, your Uville, your Farmville, your Frontierville, and Mafia Wars. You all better get up out of those games quickly because they're going down.
Yes, yes, yes. And I feel bad because I've got plenty of family members who play these horrible games.
Well.
And I told you back in the day, don't play these things. No.
Oh.
Never listen to me.
Man. I got to say, I stopped playing these a long time ago. I was thinking about going back to Cafe World this winter because I wanted to make the French onion soup. That's the only thing I like to do in the Cafe World.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not planning. But, you know, we've had some of – well, I think it was you. I can't lie. All of us here, I think this is before you got here, where we were really heavily into it for like a month or two, like, you know, setting alarms to get up and play.
Wow.
My soup is going to be ready at 3 a.m., so let me get up and make sure I serves it.
No, I didn't do that. Oh, I wasn't with y'all, but at the time I was posting. I wasn't really doing anything. I was on another website, but I was just, you know, lowly person. Anyways, I was just posting on the forums.
Not lowly.
I was totally lowly. But anyways, the whole forum that I belonged to, we all played O Game together. And that was like, I don't know, 30 people playing together, and we all had timers. And we had to like set it up because we were all over the world, so we could all watch over each other's. It was nuts.
Oh, see, that's bad.
It was hot.
You were hooked too, weren't you? You were hooked.
So. I was so hooked. So hooked, man. It was like 3 a.m. I was up checking on everybody's. Yeah.
This particular story is going to be unprecedented. Like a major rise and fall of a casual game company. And they rised major above a whole.
We were watching this. We knew something was going on. Something was happening.
I always said that they screwed up by putting all their eggs in the basket on Facebook in the first place. The second you started getting extra funding, you should have picked up other developers and tried to expand into other spaces. That's all your eggs in one basket. Even if, you know, Facebook went down, and we don't have any evidence that Facebook has done anything wrong as of yet, that doesn't mean they haven't. But if it should ever come out, if all you were on was on Facebook, you were just going to lose your shirt either way. So it's just not smart, eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Not even if it's Nintendo or Microsoft. You got to be ready to move to the next place because this happens. Ooh, people out of jobs. Well, these people are going to quit. I'm looking for a walkout in the next couple of days. I kid you not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I love these. In games reveal Pocky Pirates Legion group battles. Yay! Pocky Pirates Chapter 2, Beloved Mr. 2 update gets more content and events. InGames, a leading online publisher, has laid bare the Pirate Legion group system of their pirate-inspired MMO, Pocky Pirates. Based on the theme of dream, passion, youth, and friendship, Pocky Pirates casts players in the role of a young pirate determined to find legendary treasures and become the king of pirates.
Pirates?
Mm-hmm. Pirates. No longer the ninjas, now it's pirates.
Pirates!
Launched on July 26th, the Chapter 2, the Beloved Mr. 2 update, introduced the ability for players to transform into any character they recruit into their crew, as well as a new logbook system to make crew recalls easier to manage. The pirate group system takes interaction a step further, adding epic group battles and extra teamwork contribution options to the side-scrolling pirate RPG. Players can brand their crew of NPCs. Players can band their crew of NPCs together with their friends, forming massive legions capable of dominating the high seas. Players must reach level 30 before they can create a legion and lead the development of a group of pirates. Development options and gameplay benefits for joining a pirate legion include aggressive territory expansion, revenue increases, extra trade, and the ability to earn more prestige in battle. Yay!
Yay!
And to celebrate the launch of Pocky Pirates Chapter 2, the Beloved Mr. 2, InGames are rewarding players with free gifts for putting the new logbook system through its paces. Pirates who lighten between 10 to 40 crew members will earn themselves free training potions, shells, cards, and more. Also, from now until August 3rd.
Oh, wait, was that Puss in the Boots and Atrix?
Can you hear her back there?
Yes, I just did just now. Oh, adorable.
I'm so loud, just like I can hear you. I know you're in there.
Adorable.
Yeah. She's so adorable, right up until I catch her chewing on cords. Yeah. But I got a water gun, so me, her, and the water gun have been going round and round all morning.
Uh-oh.
Run, get it. I know, she gives me the dirtiest looks like, how dare you? I didn't think about that.
Did she help you, Diane? God, why didn't I think about getting a water gun? Why didn't you tell me? You know I'm new to this whole kitten thing.
Because I can do it when she's not paying attention, so she doesn't actually know that it's me who sprayed her. So she knows something happened. Something bad happened, but she was doing something. So she'd be like looking around. She'd be like jumping around. She's like, what was that? So I don't just spray like a lot, just once. Just enough to make her go, whoa, wait a minute.
Kitten chicks will look at me like like, remember I had this compressed air? I'd hold the can up and she'd pause and look at me. It was like, you know, the High Noon Showdown. And she'd be looking at me like, you wouldn't dare. I'm going to climb on the table.
Well, I say I have a water gun. I have a Mr. Pibb bottle that I took the cap and I drilled just a little bitty hole with the tip of a knife in. So it's just tiny. It's like pinpoint accurate, though.
Oh, I didn't think about doing that either. Oh, you know what? I have one right here on the desk. I may have to employ this lovely bottle.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and it holds plenty of water, holds more water than an actual water gun would. And I didn't have to buy a water gun. Mm. So, yay.
I like that idea.
And so far, she's already learning certain places that she needs to stay out from. So, like, one of the towers is an open-sided tower, and she keeps wanting to stick her head in.
So
like,
does mine.
Her ears cut off.
So does mine. She keeps sniffing, like, oh, what is that? Oh, there's noise coming from there.
Yeah, it's all lit up, and it's pretty. It's got lights inside, but it's open. I'm just too lazy to put the side back on.
Ginger, you are too much like me. You're trying to scare me. You're trying
but
to...
Yeah, so she gets over there, and I don't, like, want her to get hurt up in there or hurt the tower. So, you know, I just squirt her just a little bit from across the room. She's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't like this. And now she stays away for the most part.
I'm like, what you do, mommy? What you do? Why?
Yes, today was she was climbing inside my shoes and clawing at the inside of my shoe.
Yeah, you got you got trouble.
Yeah. Oh, like, what is your deal? Uh-uh. No, no. No, ma'am.
I tell you what my deal is, mommy. I'm cute. That's what my deal is.
Oh, she is so cute. She's the cutest little thing.
I am cute, and that's what it'd be like. Okay. People are like, enough about the kitten talk. Okay, so.
She's so adorable.
Take notes. We keep our
Every
animals in
line. Every gamer
needs
a pet.
You know what I'm saying? We keeps our pets in line.
Yes.
You need to keep your pets in line.
And she likes to sit in my lap while I'm playing APB, so. She's a little gamer pet.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not that. I'm not there yet. She can't sit in my lap. She has been allowed to sit in the chair next to me, however. Yeah. All right, I want to say hello to the Video Games Intelligence and Marketing Company for sending us over a report about cloud gaming, which I was going to share with you just now, but it will not open. So I will have to share that with you another time. Interesting things. I like that they sent that over, but thank you. Wait a minute. Okay, yeah, I want to tell you about this. Okay, so apparently EA has a new person they've hired for a chief financial officer. They announced it today on the conference call, or maybe they're going to announce it. His name is Blake Jorgensen. He's been appointed the company's executive vice president and chief financial officer. He'll report directly to Chief Executive Officer John Riziello, who you've heard us talk about quite often here, and will have responsibility for the company's global financial operations. He will start officially in September of this year after he joins EA after serving as vice president and chief financial officer for Levi's Strauss & Company. Yes, the jeans people. Since 2009, prior to this, he served as chief financial officer of Yahoo, Inc., and as the chief operating officer and co-director of investment banking at Thomas Wheel Partners, which he also co-founded back in 1998. John Riziello is quoted as saying, "We're very pleased to have an executive with Blake's experience joining our senior team at EA. His deep understanding of finance and experience in online commerce and entertainment will be instrumental to EA's transformation." Oh, my God. Is it time to go already?
It is time to go already, yes.
In that case, I'm going to cut that off. Say congratulations to him on his new job, and we are going to get out of here. We'll see you guys later tonight during Pixinista, where we're going to be talking about some apps. I've been getting a lot of fashion apps. Have you seen these lately?
I have not.
I will be sharing some with you, and then we'll be talking about, of course, our Second Life stuff and a bunch of other stuff we always talk about. It's all about the digital clothes, baby. All right. All right. We'll see you guys later.